Yeah, me too. Yeah, I listen. I love when I have the opportunity to get on a podcast and chat with others about the industry. It's a lot of
Oh,
fun.
yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, because with me, it's like when I listen to other podcasts, they don't really talk about the real shit of the business.
Yeah.
The cooks, the it's more about the, you know, the sex, the fucking, and all that stuff. And I try to be different to where I give the listeners, my smokers, a real look into the porn business. It's more than just the fucking, the sucking. Mm-hmm. It's politics in it. It's a whole lot of things. And with you, see, smokers, see, he's doing it the old school way, see. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you understand that you're going to start a course of helping men become male talent.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And from the era I came from, when dudes got in the game, we had to go find a producer, or we went and seeked out other producers that was in the game to kind of teach us how to run. What made you decide to go on this venture?
So on the venture of creating the course?
Yeah.
So I've been in this industry for, in and around this industry for about 15 years. So when you talk about having to find a producer, having to find a studio when you wanted to get into this business a while ago, that's where I started. You know, I started when the focus of a studio or a production house was DVD content and website content, you know, and they were the only ones that had the high grade equipment. They knew how to film it. They knew how to capture all that stuff. And, you know, I'm on DVD covers. I'm on websites that have been around for decades. Like, I, you know, that's where I got my start. Fast forward, we have OnlyFans. We have Fansly. We have LoyalFans. We have all of these creator-driven platforms. Mm-hmm. And so what I have seen is that any guy comes along, he's got a phone and a dick, thinks he can be a porn star. And, you know, to that point, you can be. I mean, you can get paid to fuck. That is the definition of a porn star. Now, the issue that I have personally is that I see a number of guys get into this industry and they don't know how to communicate. They don't understand testing. They treat this business like a dating site, you know, like Tinder or Bumble. They don't know how to perform properly. You know, I mean, they're having sex like they would if there was no cameras around. So you don't get to see action. It's, you know, very low quality, amateurish, all that sort of stuff. And again, there's a market for all of that. But I've talked to a number of performers who have felt afraid in some of the collaborations that they've been in. Their boundaries have been violated. And, you know, they've been lied to about testing. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at it and I said, you know what, there's a better way of doing this. I don't want to say, hey, you know, guys, you should stop getting into the business because you're doing it wrong. What I think we really need is education. And me personally, I love to educate. I love to help bring people up to my level so they can succeed and go even further. And yeah. By showing the newbies coming into this business how to handle paperwork and how to do testing and how to properly communicate with your co-star is going to get them much, much further in this business than what a lot of them are doing now. So that was the main reasons behind why I decided to put this course together. I just felt like there's a desperate need for education in this industry.
Okay. Smokers, you already hear this about to get lit. So let me go ahead and get these particulars out the goddamn way, because buckle up, fellas. It's about to get real. Welcome to the Smoker's Lounge. You know who I am. Kavanaugh, the Subway Champ, a.k.a. the Porn Rap App Star. You know what to do. Find all my links with one link, allmylinks.com/Porn Rap Star. Let me tell you about four wonderful sponsors that we have been enjoying for 3 years now. I'm talking about none other than the first one being the Facebook and LS community, LSWorld.com. Next up, the Hot Adult Magazine, the Game Rod Scissor Magazine.com. And the new home of the Premium Smoke Room for you content creators, 90% profit. No hashtag issues. Don't have to worry about getting bumped off like they're doing OnlyFans. And for your consumers, a new place to consume your XXX content, easy to navigate. It feels like social media. You can even post some stuff your damn self. I'm talking about ExciteBunny.com. Last but not least, award-winning, award-nominated We talking about voiceover with Smut, and they even have award-nominated VR side of their site. I'm talking about none other than blusherotica.com. We also a proud member of the GW District Black Podcasting Network. So go over to shopgwdistrict.com and go buy something, why don't you? Also, check me out in the mornings, 5 days out of the week at fullswapradio.com. Also on skyhawafterdarkdv.com as well as the BGB LLC app. So I'm going to let this man that's a veteran like myself who fucks the shit out of his talent when he works with them, and he's been slanging it for a minute, introduce himself. Tell him who you is, brother.
My name is AZ Pornstar. I am based out of Phoenix, Arizona. Been in and around this industry for about 15 years, but my brand, AZ Pornstar, has only been around for about a year and a half at this point. So kind of getting started as an individual content creator instead of a mainstream creator. And it's been an amazing year and a half, I will tell you that much.
Well, most definitely. Because like I said, when you came in, similar to how I came in, because I didn't go Hollywood. I went straight independent. Mm-hmm. And I ain't even going to front, it was hell. I'm like, these motherfuckers now, y'all got it too goddamn easy. That's why y'all act the way y'all act.
Mm-hmm.
Because even to the point, like, in order to, like, we had to use Handycam. Then it was a big-ass cord that you had to connect the cord to your laptop. And you, it takes a while for that son of a bitch to actually load onto the Windows Movie Maker. Or that shit came with the program. I think Pinnacle was one of the names.
Yep, yep. Pinnacle.
Man, that shit was hell to get a scene.
Mm-hmm.
A scene. Oh, and by the way, it costs a lot to get that bitch edited.
Yeah, and that's a thing. You know, years ago, doing this required a lot of knowledge because the programs were not easy, and it required a lot of time because they weren't easy and they were expensive. You know, every bit of it. You know, the equipment at the time was expensive. You know, the post-production was expensive. The distribution channels were expensive to get out there. So, yeah, it was a lot different back then.
Yeah, that's why a lot of motherfuckers just took their ass to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't have any of those responsibilities when I call it the mainstream is what I call the 9-to-5 of the porn world. You show up, you fuck on set, you create the scene, you get your check at the end, you walk away. You have no control over that content, where it goes, how it's edited, anything else like that. You just show up, get paid, and you move on with your day. So it's kind of like the 9-to-5 in the porn world.
Yeah, because see, even to the point, I had this argument earlier this year with a lady online, and we were talking about, I guess discussing male talent and how they move. And I said, well, back in the day, whether it was a company or a female, you had to send profile pics.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to him what the profile pics. This motherfucker is gonna sit here and say, oh, that's sexual harassment. Why you had to send a dick pic? Why you had to do this? It doesn't matter the size of the dick. I'm sitting there looking at her like, you really don't understand this business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand this business. It has to be a certain size because it's about aesthetics. Mm-hmm. It's about how it looks, you know, period. They wanted to see what type of body you had, what type of scars you had. This, that, and the third. If a female, she might have one titties lower than the other. They want to know what they're paying for, people. Yeah. Because even when you went to Hollywood, they tell you, take off your clothes, turn around. All right, see you in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, because you're a commodity, you know, yeah. as a performer in the industry, you are a commodity. And so they need to know what kind of commodity they're selling. You know, and if the general performer on their site is petite, has no tattoos, is brunette, you know, they want to know what you look like. So then that way they know, are you a fit for their product and ultimately something that's going to make them money. So, yeah, that was very, very important.
Yeah, because see, in 2 years, I also had a situation where girls come in, they Photoshop. You have a girl come in, she Photoshops like she got a flat stomach, she got a little pudge.
Mm.
You know, and they're like, wait a second, that's not the goods that we paid for. Oh, and by the way, they were way more harsh and meaner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I saw that process play out a number of times. In my time prior to being an independent creator, I worked with a lot of studios. I worked with a lot of agents. And you're right. They were not very nice about it. You know, they would pick out every single little flaw. And, you know, they're like, they would find a way to disqualify you very quickly because it was like they wanted the cream of the crop. And I think personally, I think that's why I prefer content creation now, because it's more body positive. Yeah. You know, there's categories for everybody to be into, you know, whether you're petite or BBW, whether you have zero tattoos or a ton of tattoos. You know, there's a number of different categories. And so, you know, now it opens up the creators to express who they are and feel comfortable presenting content as genuinely as possible, not trying to be something that a studio or an agent wants them to be.
Yeah, because the one social media made it that where they could become more known walking into it. Because, you know, back in the day, they wanted girls that you ain't seen them. They wanted it to be the one that breaked her in. They wanted to be the company that break her in. Yep. You know, they gave a fuck about how many shoots you did with some of the companies.
Yeah.
Because there was such things known as overshot. When a girl come in that first year, she shoot with everybody. And next year, you don't hear from them. Because they ain't booking. They got everything.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, I still see that nowadays, too. I mean, I've worked with a number of first-time performers, and by first-time meaning, you know, they shot maybe one or two scenes prior to working with me. Some of them shot their first scene. And, you know, it's a conversation that I have with them, you know, because a lot of them are like, oh, you know, I want to go to this big company and that big company. I'm like, listen, I was like, if you go and you shoot, in a year's time, maybe a little bit faster, you may not have any more opportunities because now you've been, like you said, overshot, and nobody wants to work with you anymore because they want new and fresh faces. So if you're going to go that route, move slowly into it. Do some here, do some there, make your own content in between. But don't, if you get burned out fast, you'll make a ton of money, but then it's gone.
Oh, yeah, real fast, because they got too many girls that's coming. Dudes is different because they keep the dudes a small core of dudes because it's about dependability. Because it's a different level when we're talking about, yes, there's level to this shit in porn, people. See, content creation level ain't shit. No, it ain't shit. Let's talk about Hollywood level.
Very, very different level.
Woo! I did not go Hollywood. After I saw what a Hollywood shoot, bro.
Yeah.
I bow down to anyone that do that. You want to know why? There's so many people in that motherfucker, a lot. Mm-hmm. More pressure. Yeah. You know? So speaking about that, let's go back in the time machine. What got AZ porn star into the porn business?
So this is a fun little story. So again, this is going way back. I was a 21-year-old photographer. I had my own photography business. I just kind of started it. And I would do like weddings, I would do, you know, sports, I would do kind of stuff here and there. Wasn't a whole lot of work at the time. So I went on this wonderful website called Craigslist, and I started looking around for photography gigs. Let me see what I could find, you know, kind of fill in the gaps. So at the time I was living on the East Coast. So I was in the New York area, and I answered an ad for somebody looking for a photographer to capture nude and partially nude photographs of female models. And, you know, hey, listen, 21-year-old guy, I'm like, I get to take pictures and get paid, you know, and they're partially naked or fully naked women. Why not? So I answered the ad. I go all the way down to West Orange, New Jersey. And I kind of come into this complex, and it looks like an old factory, you know, really nice brick building everywhere. And I was like, oh, cool. This is an interesting place. So I go up in. And I walk into the lobby, and, you know, it's got a couch and a desk there, nobody really there. And the producer comes out and he's like, hey, we're back here. So he brings me down the hallway. And as I turn the corner coming into the room, that's the moment I realized I was on a porn set. I walked in and there's dildos everywhere. You know, she's laying on the couch, butt naked on her phone. The male talent is standing at the end of the couch with, you know, dick in hand, just trying to stay hard. And I come in, and the producer goes to me, he goes, listen, he goes, we're going to take and we're going to mock up all the shots. We're going to do all like the pretty girl type of shots. We're going to do all the staged, you know, the staged position shots. He goes, I need you to take pictures of all of this. He goes, and then you're going to sit against that wall. We're going to film the whole scene. And when it's done, you're going to come in and take pictures of the pop shot. I was like, all right, fine. Not a problem. Thought this was the coolest thing. I get to be on a porn set and I get paid for it. So I do this for about a year, year and a half, roughly. And get into this wonderful routine. And I'm sitting there against the wall on my phone one day, and the producer is visibly upset. The male talent was struggling. Apparently the producer had paid a lot for this girl to be there, because like you said, she was brand new. And he needed to capture the pop shot. So half jokingly and half serious, is how I like to maintain it. He turns around to me and he goes, "Do you want to fucking get in there and do this?" And so, because the male talent wasn't working. And so before he could finish getting all the words out of his mouth, I was already like undressing. And I was like, I was ready to go. And it was great. And so I go in and I do the pop shot. Uh-huh. And one of the things that anybody knows about me as a performer is I have a very large volume of cum when I climax. So
yeah.
Looks great on camera. People love it. And so I step up, I do the cum shot and absolutely cover her. And I back out and still naked. I go over and I grab my camera gear and I go back into the scene and I take pictures of it and everything. So at the end of it, producer comes to me and he goes, "That was the most amazing first cum shot I've ever seen." He goes, "If I paid you a little bit more money, would you still do the pictures and step in at the end of every scene and do a pop shot, basically be a stunt cock?" And I'm like, hold on. So let me get this straight. You're going to pay me to take pictures. Then you're going to pay me more money and I get to take and blow a load basically all over this girl. And he's like, yes. I'm like, yes, sure. Not a problem. Like, count me in. So I do this for quite some time, and I wound up, you know, becoming friends with some of the agents and some of the girls that had worked in the industry. And, you know, it was great for a number of years. And then, you know, I traveled, I did some bigger studio work, you know, all up and down the East Coast, never really out West. And then, I wound up moving. And so I came out to Arizona, and there wasn't at the time, I didn't know that there was as big of a filming scene out here.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got out of the business. I'd still build websites. I'd still do kind of things behind the scenes. I'd edit scenes. I'd edit, you know, pictures and stuff like that. Until I found a studio here, and I started doing some work with them, and had another studio, and it kind of blossomed from there. And then July of 2022, I branched off and I started my own dedicated brand. So that way I am performer and producer. So,
word.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like one thing we know, you never made the white list, obviously. people don't know the little tidbit shits, because you hear about the blackballing, but mm-hmm. they don't hear about the white list. The white list is if you come too damn fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you will not get booked again.
Nope. They need, the one thing that I have learned, and it's something that I've perfected over the years, is how to essentially come on demand. You know, it was one of those things where, like, if you need a 15-minute scene, I can fuck for 14 and a half minutes, and then that last 30 seconds, do the pop shot. If you need me to go for 30 minutes, I can do 30 minutes. If you need me to go for five, I'll go for five. Like, I, as a performer, know my body and know what it takes to get it there in order to deliver on whatever the producer or my co-star is looking for.
And plus, also know how to slow it down, because, like, mm-hmm. this is something that I never really talked about on the show, but you know what I'm talking about. You feel yourself about to get to the point of it's coming. So we have to settle it down. That means get out the pussy for a second. Mm-hmm. You might eat it for a minute. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like a little tidbit that, as a professional male talent, let's make this clear, you kind of understand, because your whole thing is you want that nut to be strong.
Yes.
So they can see it on camera, because once again, it's about the aesthetics.
Yep. And, you know, it's funny that you said that, that anytime, you know, that's kind of like an inside secret. Anytime you see a two people going at it, and he pulls out and then goes down and just starts eating her right away. Yeah. That he was about to come and he needed to get off of that ledge a little bit. And so that's the best way to go and do it, you know?
Yeah, you know, because it's like, even as a male talent, you know what positions might make you pop quick.
Yep.
So you try to avoid them to the end.
Yes.
You know, period. Yep. See, that's the reason why I tell females iron sharpens iron. You want to work with a professional because they know what the fuck to do. And it's our job to make them look good, because we engineered the scene.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more.
Like, shit, because, like, one of the shots I like from him, and I said, damn, it was hot. you mount it doggy style and you pull the shorty's hair.
Yep.
And you want to call it. That was a hot ass shot.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites. There's a couple things that I do that I'd like to think that they're unique to me. They're not, you know. I think every position has been done in porn somewhere along the way. But some of my favorites are doggy style. I love getting kind of up high and then either pulling their hair or putting my hand around their throat and just getting like right next to them as I do it, and they seem to enjoy it. And when it comes to like the previews and the pictures, and it looks great. It absolutely.
But see, I'm gonna tell you something else, because me and you are cut from the same cloth. I'm a photographer as well. Mm. When we're filming, we're thinking of the steals. Actually, we're thinking of the steals. Because if you're gonna go back, you go look for the steal that you want to put for the cover, because you come from the same time frame where we film for DVDs, not for cuts.
Yep.
See, people don't understand that. That's the reason why our stuff is a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
And more polished than what's going on today.
And that, you know, and that's so true too. Like, you know, I try and broadcast sometimes for my VIP members a behind the scenes of an actual porn shoot, because the thing is I shoot static. I don't have a camera person because I am very picky about the shots and how I get them. I do shoot with multiple cameras for that reason, you know, but I'm always up here in the middle of doing the scene. I'm up here going, does this look good? Am I getting the right angle? How's the look? Is the sound good? Like, not just like, is it recording the sound well, but like what I'm saying, what she's saying, how we're interacting, any of the dirty talk. I'm thinking about every single element other than what I'm actually doing, which is having sex. I'm thinking about all the pieces that go into it and how they're going to look. I'm not sitting there going, oh, this feels amazing and everything like that. I'm going, am I recording a good product that I can turn around and sell and make money off of? And that's all that goes on up here during an entire shoot.
Yeah, because people don't realize it's like, it ain't just fucking. I keep trying to explain this to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's strategic fucking.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is, one, we can't be loose because we got to do angles. We have to turn ourselves just as much as we turn the female. Like I tell anybody, like, this shows me how experienced male talent is. If she's riding a big cowgirl, you don't part the butt cheeks at some point, I have no respect for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why do we part the butt cheeks? So you can see how much of that dick going in the pussy, because that's the point.
Yeah.
You want to see how much you're taking it.
Porn sex is not regular sex. And I think this was best illustrated. So my partner in real life also shoots content. And I got started doing my solo stuff, if you will, my brand prior to her. And then she kind of came into it. And she never really understood that. That was something I was trying to explain to her. I was like, listen, porn sex is completely different than regular sex. And so we wound up doing a scene together. We actually had a couple come over because the wife was looking to get into the industry, and she wanted to see how a scene goes. I was like, listen, I'm going to be shooting with my actual real partner. I said, probably a great scene to come check out. And we go through, we film the scene. It's about 25 minutes long. You know, we film it. We talk to the couple after, and they're like, oh, this is great. They leave. And my partner looks at me and she goes, you know, I'm still horny. And we go back and we have regular sex, no cameras on, anything like that. We have regular sex. And at the end of it, she goes, you know, she goes, I never understood what you meant by porn sex is not regular sex until right now. She goes, you and I just had sex on camera. And she goes, it was not anything close to the personal sex that we have. She goes, the personal sex is by far more fulfilling and feels better than the porn sex does. And it's literally the same two people in the same setting having sex. One is for cameras, one isn't. It was incredible.
Yeah, smoke that over, smokers. See, what I've been telling y'all the whole time.
Yeah.
It ain't the same, because I have to think about certain things that I don't have to think about if there's no cameras around. I can just fuck the brakes off for a week. I can sex up. If I'm in front of the camera, I got to sit here and think about hair in her face, use the off-camera hand.
There you go.
Move the hair off the face, because you don't want to block the shot with the on-camera hand. So y'all ever notice the dude always have his hand behind the back like this, and his hand goes back.
Yeah, that's it. Because you don't put anything in between the action and the camera. It's always, you have to keep that as clear as possible, whether it's a hand, a leg, a foot, hair, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because And see, that's the biggest misconception that a lot of these dudes walk in, is because that's why I hated, like, when certain content creators became popular.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against them. They did their business. I get it. Some, hey, one motherfucker in particular, they know who I'm talking about, Jimmy Smack. He got lucky. He got lucky. But it made the average dude think they can do it.
Yeah.
It's no different than when that Kim Kardashian sex tape came out. It made the average chick and the average dude think they can do this. You know, because it takes a lot. It's it takes, I talk about mental prep, physical prep.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize the mental we got to do before. Oh, and not even just that, also the chemistry. Because, like, depending on the level, you may not have but 15 minutes to get to know this female for y'all to fuck in front of a room full of people.
And you have to be able to sell it like you two have known each other, you know, are deep in love with each other, whatever. You know, it's just like you've known each other forever, and this is like the millionth time you fucked when, like you said, you met her 15 minutes before. And I think that's one of the benefits to the content creation side versus the mainstream side, is that you can spend a little bit more time, you know, getting to know, you know, your co-star before you actually film and everything. But yeah, back in those days, it was like, hey, call time is 11 o'clock, you know, show up, you're going to meet your, you know, your co-star now, you know, get undressed and start doing this. And it was, you had to mentally get yourself to that place, because you might work with a co-star, and honestly, I've done it with, in content creation, I've worked with some people who the vibe just wasn't there, and you know, it, you have to play it so that you can deliver a performance that people are going to look at and not even realize that you two didn't have any chemistry. I've worked with other performers who I've had amazing chemistry with, and the content comes out, you know, incredible. And I don't have to think as much with it because it just, it vibes very well. But you get a wide range in this business.
Yeah. See, that's the biggest misconception. Not every female or every shoot is going to be smooth. You have to somewhere work it out. Sometimes you might have a hard time getting the fuck up and you got to take a walk off, you know, period. You know, I've had them moments before too. I had to go outside, smoke a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, get the blood flowing, walk around the parking lot for a little bit, then come back in and break her back out.
Yep.
There's such things called a maintenance scenes where it's basically missionary, doggy style, and blowjob. That's it.
That's a super basic scene right there. Yep.
that is called the binary scene. Yeah, dang it. That way, you know the scene is working if you get a ride sequence.
Yeah.
But if all you see is blowjob, doggy, and missionary, and sometimes blowjob and dog, that was a maintenance scene. They weren't working good together.
No, and listen, I've had situations you talk about not being able to get it up on set. Mm-hmm. Bodies are weird. That's the one thing that everybody is unique. Every body is different. And, you know, I've had days where I'm just like, I'm off for whatever reason, and I struggle. And, you know, I've had to either cancel a shoot, and I'm very honest with my co-stars. I'm like, listen, today is not a good day. I'm feeling off. It's not going to be a good scene. But in situations where it's been on the professional side, I was like, listen, let's sell this the best we can. And when you talk about those positions, you know, the blowjob, you can kind of make it look like the guy is fairly hard, you know, doggy style, you can kind of hide stuff. You're not getting a lot of, you know, the piston action, if you will, but you can kind of fake it that way. And it happens, you know, it absolutely happens. Now I think there's, you know, a little bit more in terms of, you know, stay hard drugs like Viagra and Cialis that kind of help out. But.
Oh, and I tell dudes, don't feel shame. Cause I remember dudes who get rad, whoever did that.
Mm-hmm.
And when more of I gotten into the business, it wasn't because they couldn't keep it up or keep it hard. It was to make sure that it stays hard.
It's an insurance policy.
You know, and also some of those pills make you able to last to where you don't pop as quick.
Yes, because, that like is I very true.
At the end of the day, that's the beauty of content creation too. I might can pop twice in the scene, it don't mean nothing, it won't hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, period. Not on the big side of things. Oh no, oh no. There's a conversation to decide between the producer, the camera, and the director. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So how do you pick your female talent to work with?
You know, so I don't have any sort of selection criteria. What I look for, especially as a content creator, is I look for co-stars who are open and willing to promote the male talent that they work with. And I think that that's something that does not happen enough in this business, is that there are a lot of creators out there who will put out a scene and go, I did this scene. And if it's a guy, they don't tag the girl. If it's a girl, they don't tag the guy. And then you're wondering, you know, maybe you like the guy or the girl that's in that scene and you want to follow their content as well. And I don't like working with people who don't do that sort of stuff. So I always look for people who market alongside the talent that they've worked with. So that's number one. Number two, I look for people who are also body positive. One of the biggest things in my content is I work with a variety of performers, all shapes, sizes, and colors, because personally and professionally, I believe that every person is beautiful and good looking in their own right, and that we should be able to work with anybody and not get locked in to, I only shoot with this type of person. So the things that I look for are people who are very positive, very outgoing. They tag the talent that they work in. They help cross promote. This is a, hey, we're all going to tie our boats together, and when the tide rises, we all rise. Like that's my mindset. And that's it. And I'll reach out. And I love working with new creators. I love working with established creators, because each brings their own unique traits to the scene as well. And I've done some incredible scenes with brand new talent. You know, I've done some incredible scenes with seasoned talent. And to me, it's that full gamut. So nothing in particular that I look for. I just look for really positive people who are here to do the best job that they can to help bring the people that are around them up, and really want to put out a good quality product. That's the main focus for me.
Okay. So now, fellas, we're about to get on y'all asses real quick. Let me pull this damn vape. No, I smoke cigarettes. I got no cigarettes right now. So, and I don't feel like rolling my next blunt. So, there you go. Yeah. What's the biggest mistake you see these guys make? I see a lot. But what's the biggest mistake you see?
Oh, maybe business. Where do I begin? I think that's more of the question. I mean, listen, I'm going to touch on a couple things, because I don't know. I think the biggest mistake is really subjective, you know, depending on who you talk to. Yeah. In some cases, I think some of the mistakes that these guys make, and again, this is all addressed. We address all of this in the course for this reason. Mm-hmm. Guys will get gear and they won't test it out, and they'll go to use it the very first time they go to shoot with somebody and things fail. The quality is not there. They have all these sorts of problems, and it makes them look very unprofessional. Communication. I find that, and I see it firsthand, because I have guys reach out to me, but I also have guys reach out to my partner, and she shares that stuff with me. You know, guys are treating this like a dating site. You know, they reach out and they go, hey baby, to somebody that they've never interacted with. You know, they start telling them what they're going to be doing, when there hasn't been a discussion. Which takes me into the, you know, a third item is I see a huge, huge violation of boundaries and consent in a lot of these scenes. I have talked to so many performers who have had their boundaries violated, and it's sad when they tell me this, because nobody should ever be in this position, but they say that they didn't feel that they had the ability to say no and stop the scene and walk away from it. So they just continued to do something that was going against their boundaries, was not consented to, you know, so that's that. The, you know, and then, you know, I can go down the list, you know, paperwork. I run into creators all the time that you talk about 2257 and they go, what's that? You know, they don't understand a model release. They don't understand.
See, I'm going to tell you what it is. The difference. They do not respect the business walking in. Mm-hmm. We came into business, we were taught to respect it, because one, it wasn't easy to get into. Two, the people in it had fucking high standards of who they dealt with. Like, trust and believe, I never forget this lady, Candy. I don't know if she's still alive or not. She, Miss Candy, I think. She came from fucking Hollywood. I showed her a digital camera back then. She told me to get that shit out my face and get a real camera.
Yeah.
A year later, guess what we were shooting with? The digital camera.
Yeah.
But the point being was the level that they was expecting us. They wanted the profile pic. They wanted to see what the guy looked like. Vice versa, we wanted to see what the girl looked like. You know, the whole nine. We was taught to respect the business because it wasn't that simple. So the people coming in now, they don't respect it. It's like easy money.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying, fast money. You spend it fast. You don't think about the down the line.
Yep.
You know, and that's what it seemed like to me, because I always looked at it as a craft. Yeah. I always looked at it as a business, because I kind of understood you got to establish relationships in order to continue to grow and make money in this business, period.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that's great. Boiling it down to respect. There's a lack of respect by the guys for the industry. There's a lack of respect for the guys towards their co-performers. There's a lack of respect for the content that they put out. And I, you know, you and I come from a different era in this business. I think some people nowadays enjoy kind of that really amateurish, you know, things bouncing around, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we treated it as a craft. We treated it as something that, you know, we want to put our name on it. For us, it was not a short-term gain for a long-term sacrifice. It was a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. And that's what we were always after.
Yeah, because the whole point of it was, I wanted, even to the sites, you just couldn't put anything on there. Mm-hmm. It had to be a certain type grade.
Yep.
And shit, even right now, Fab House, if it ain't got a pop shot, they will not let it go through.
Yep.
It has to be a visible pop shot.
Yeah, it has to have a start, a middle, and an end. It has, yeah, I mean, even Pornhub says that too in their premium program. They say the same thing. It needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end to it. It can't just like end partway through and that's it. Like they won't allow a partial or half scene.
See, that's the reason why my man Alfonso Lay said, I don't do porn for TikTok, because that was porn came to. I get where he was coming from on that, because the way that we has been sold because of OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And because people sit back and you had all these talents want to post how much they were making,
mm-hmm.
you know, and want to flex. So now everyone, and you know how people think, oh, you made that. You ain't shit.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yep.
He can do that. And shit. So you motherfucker talks, I ain't gay, but you dead looking at our dicks talking about we ain't fucking around. Oh shoot, man. But see it's a lot. But see, that's the other thing too, because they don't realize also we do have to play to a gay fan base. As much as they want that shit, you can't.
Yeah.
Females, y'all complain about us leasing dick pictures.
Yeah.
We get them too.
I get them every single day. And here's the thing is, I have on a number of my platforms, I literally say, if you want to be in one of my scenes, if you want to perform with me, if you want to get into this industry, here's a list of things that I need you to do. And I can't tell you how many guys, I'm going to say guys, because I haven't received too many unsolicited pussy pics from women. Usually a different approach. Yeah, it's a very different approach. But from the guys, I mean, I will get dick pics. I will get, you know, they'll just be like, hey, I've got a big dick. You know, I want to shoot. You know, I'm tested. You know, I'm reliable. Whatever it's the same shit all the time in there. And I get them all the time, and they completely disregard everything that I put in there. And it just shows me that, again, like you said, the lack of respect. You know, when I reach out to somebody that I want to shoot with, I don't send a dick pic. I don't go, hey, baby, you know what I say? I go, hi, my name is AZ Pornstar, and I'm a content creator who's been in this business for over 15 years. I have a bunch of references if you would like them, or feel free to go through my timeline on Twitter, and you can reach out to anybody that I've tagged on there, and you can talk to them. I said, I've got high quality content. Here's what I shoot with. Here's samples of my stuff. Here's everything that you need to know about me. Before I ever start a conversation with you, I'm just going to send this as an intro, give you everything, let you sort through it, and then decide how you're going to respond to me. A dick pic is not a good opener at all.
No, it's not. It's not. Because they're going to look at you as a fuckboy.
Yep, that's it.
They're not going to respect you. That's the biggest thing you need to hurt me. When I go through the trouble of being professional as fuck and you treat me like a fuckboy, I'm like, do I look like a fuckboy to you?
Yep.
Do I look like someone that just here to fuck you?
Yeah.
You got that half right. I want to fuck your ass on camera so I can make this fucking money. I don't care two shits about fucking you, period.
Yeah. So, and that is something that does, I do get asked about a lot personally, is so I'll have talent reach out and I'm like, hey, I'd love to shoot with you. I'm like, okay, great. Like, here's my process. Here's how I do it. I'm type A, OCD, ADHD type of person. So I'm extremely organized. And so I'll send them all this stuff. And then they go, oh, okay, that sounds great. You seem really organized. You know, I'm not sure how this would go. You know, maybe we can just, you know, fuck first, at, you know, off camera and see how that goes and then do a scene. I was like, listen, first of all, I don't have sex off camera with anybody other than my partners. That is it. I said, if we're going to do something, it's going to be on camera. That's it, period. Unless we're dating. If we're dating, then we can do stuff off camera. But I'm not looking to date. I'm looking to create content. And if I'm going to take that time to do something with somebody that I'm not in a relationship with, those cameras are going to be on and I'm going to make money out of it. I'm not going to do stuff on the side with you.
Yeah, because, I mean, people don't take into account we have significant others. We married. We have kids. We have fucking life outside this shit. Mm-hmm. This is a profession for us. This is not fun. I've been there, too. But I talked to a female, and she would tell me how she shot with somebody else, and they fucked off camera, and she decided to do content. Mm-hmm. I said, so, basically, I'm paying you. It was supposed to be the content trade and the paid scene, not a paid collab. Let's keep this in mind. One scene that I pay her, the other scene is content trade. The only way I got the content trade if we get fucked off camera, why the fuck I'm going to pay you for me just fucking you, and then I'm going to fuck you off camera for free? Bitch, are you crazy?
Yeah.
No, that second, no. I got a wife I got to go home to, you know, which also tells me, makes me question how you move in your personal sex life.
And that's a great point, because it's, if that's how things are with you, what's going on separately, and then what kind of risk for STIs does that put you at? And this just happened the other day. There was people who did not, they were like, hey, I have chlamydia, and so we can't do a fucking scene, but we could do a blowjob scene. And I'm like, no, because the same cells that are down there are here, and it's not like localized, like it's in your body, and you can still get an STD from oral sex. There's no concept to that. And I'm like, no, that shit's not going to happen. Like, you need to have a clean test before, or I should say, I don't want to say clean, because I don't want to do the connotation of clean versus dirty. What I should say is a clear test. So your test comes back all negative. That's when we shoot. I'm not going to do something, you know, with a different part of you because some other part of you, you know, has something. Like, it's just the lack of knowledge and understanding there is just, it just blows me away.
I'm still stuck on the fact that she said we can still do a blowjob.
Yeah.
But I came up with committee.
I stared at that message for quite some time going, I thought somebody was like punking me, because I was just like, how does this not compute? You have an STI.
I let a girl slide because a test didn't come in on time. It came back clear. Mm-hmm. But the level of trust I had to have for that speaks volumes, people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because for 10 years, I did condom. I didn't go raw except for blowjob. Yeah. That was with a test. No, I ain't playing around. Because I rode around with some of these girls. I know how they played.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and we see that. I mean, it's not just, I know we're talking about the women, but there's guys that do it too. I mean, honestly, there's a number of them out there. There's a group here in Phoenix, unfortunately, that has been posted all over Twitter a number of times because they've fake tests. They've done, they literally, somebody had an STD, altered their test, and then wound up giving it to a performer. Then she wound up, from what I understand, wound up giving it to her kid. It became this whole thing. And then more and more people came out of the woodwork. And it's just like, why is nobody, I mean, with HIV and with some of these things floating around, why is nobody taking they're testing seriously. Why play that game? Like, it's not hard to go down and get tested.
You want
to
know why?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. He's horny as fuck, and he ain't got $400.
Yeah.
There you go. Because that's what it comes down to, because the test is fucking free to ass be down there.
Yeah.
The test is $25 to ass be down there. That shit, $400 now with that new STI on that shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, like I said, I came from a time where we did get away with doing the health department until these dumb motherfuckers wanted to fake that. That's why I laugh at somebody talking about TTS, man. But you know how many people don't fake the TTS? As a prominent star fake the TTS, that's why his ass blackballed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I usually I tell people is, I'm like, listen, don't ever accept a screenshotted or a PDF test ever, because they can be altered very easily. I have a background in technology, and so that stuff is like, anybody can figure out how to do that. And, you know, I always say it needs to be in a portal. It needs to be like, you need to be able to watch them on your phone, log into the portal, click on the message from their doctor, or, you know, or the testing organization that they went to, open up the results, and then see them right there. And the one with the TTS that you were telling about, I mean, they went to an extreme level to fake that test. And so they took the QR code, they built their own little website on it to show that they were clear. And so again, what I tell people in that situation is, like, if you're a producer or if you are talent, log into TTS and then scan their barcode, because then it will bring you, it'll show up top whether it's on the TTS website or not. And it's just,
and you know, it's sad that people go through the trouble of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, put it this way. If you don't want to get tested, just get you a rig with bitch and fuck on camera. There you go. You got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Stay in that lane. No, y'all want to come over here with that bullshit.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It's frustrating, because then when people aren't honest about it, what they're failing to realize is that they're affecting more than just themselves. And that's where a lot of the people, and I'm going to say guys and girls in this case, they're just focused on, well, it's just me, and then it's this one other person. But what they don't realize is that one other person might have a family life, and then they have their professional life, and then they're going out and doing all these other scenes. And so if you're not honest, then they're spreading this to a whole bunch of other people. And if you're not honest and they catch it, then it's also taking them out of their ability to earn an income and to be able to connect with the people that they care about. And it causes a lot of havoc in somebody's life just because you wanted to get your dick wet, you know, from the guy's perspective, or, you know, get fucked from the woman's perspective. And it causes a lot of damage down the line that nobody seems to think of. And I can't understand why.
No, because it not only that, it shuts down a whole industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've already had that, what, twice this year?
Industry. And we're talking about millions to billions being lost because you can't shoot for a day. Or ain't nothing worse than this person traveling and come to find out that, it's a shutdown. And the funny part is, people so scared, they can sit there and be around, nobody still would not shoot because they're afraid that somebody gonna snitch.
Yeah.
And I heard of someone was snitching on somebody that did that shit. I said, damn, how the fuck did they find out that, damn, boy, it's serious.
I think there needs to be some more accountability around all of that, you know. And if somebody's going to go to those lengths, I mean, yeah, like you said, they get blacklisted, blackballed in the industry. I know myself and a number of other creators here in Arizona, we maintain a list ourselves for anybody who has done things like that, you know, altered test, has been abusive, has violated consent or boundaries, things like that. Like, we don't want to work with or support anybody who works with them or them or whatever the case may be. Like, it's just not, it's not healthy for this industry at all. We need to raise the standards when it comes to content creation. We need to raise the standards for everybody.
Yeah, because it's not that the money's being made and being clean. That's part of the job. It's no different than any 9-to-5. You may have to take classes for this, or you might have to take a shot for something. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. That's part of the resume is the test.
Yeah.
You know, because it enables people to feel comfortable enough, because especially since what they were saying back in the day, which has been proven wrong. You know, I remember dudes say this all the time to girls. A scene with a condom don't make money. Real professionals, they go raw. So if you want to go raw, you go. If you want to play with the big dogs, you got to go by big dog rules.
Yeah, yep. Because it's designed to keep everybody as safe as possible. Now, and this is the thing, is I don't want to say, hey, listen, if you follow these rules, you're going to be in the clear 100%, because there's always room for something to happen. And it all depends on how you get tested and when you get tested and incubation periods or germination periods for different STDs. And it's one of those things where it can happen. But if you're going and getting tested regularly, if you are very deliberate with how you interact with others in an unprotected sex scenario.
Now, that's the key. Because, see, I talk about this all the time. So these fans can understand this. Let me sit up. Do you understand the sacrifice that we have to take in our personal, not professional, personal sex life? Mm-hmm. We can't move as if a single man or a swinging man or a cheating man can move in his personal life if he's not doing porn. If he was, let's say he was a bus driver, he was shit, this, that, the third, what have you. We can't, because we can't come back and that test is dirty.
Yeah.
You know, period. So we can't take somebody home from the bar, and that's where a lot of the problem is. Some of these niggas, some of these dudes, what have you, they get that test and think they fucking Teflon.
Yeah. And it's not. And that's the thing. Getting tested, I get tested every 14 days. Now, back when you and I started in the business, it was every 30 days is what you get tested. You know, now it's every 14 days. I'm hearing some rumblings of possibly going to 7 to help cut that down. But every 12 days, I go in and I get tested. So I have overlapping tests. Then that way, once one testing period ends, I've got another one that picks right up. And it's done to reduce the risk, and you will never reduce risk to zero. There's always going to be some inherent risk, but the more practical you are with how you handle the test, how often you go, who you film with, how you handle your personal life, all the different pieces that go into it, you're going to be far safer than somebody who just throws caution to the wind and is like, I should be all right. They said they're, you know, clear. And I believe them. You know, you just met them at the bar 10 minutes ago, but you know, they're, you know, and I just, it's a very different level than on the personal life. And I agree with you, as somebody who is in the industry, we have to be very, very careful with what we do and how we do it. We don't have the freedom to go out and do whatever we want to do, because it just doesn't work like that.
I'll be real with you. The rules that we had to live by back then, they couldn't do now, because let me make this clear. Swingers, they didn't fuck with. Because they felt swingers was too loose. Possibility of, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about back in the day of AIMS.
Yeah.
I don't know about AIMS. Yeah. This the Kid of Dimples reminded me about AIDS. God, I said, there's a test before TTS. I couldn't think of the name of it. But back then, they didn't deal with escorts. If they saw you tricked, unless, you know, some one of the producers was, you know, doing what he did. You know, you know how that is. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway.
Still happens to this day. Still happens to this day.
Some of them girls don't get to Europe on their own. Let's keep it real. So, but they frowned upon escorts and they frowned upon swingers, because they wanted to make sure that it won't no dirtiness. They don't want no stoppage. They even, like, the shit with the content house, they were doing that well ahead of time. But it was more of a quarantine.
Yeah.
They picked up, grabbed everybody they're going to shoot for that weekend or that day. They all take their test. They be stuck in that damn mansion. So if you did feel like fucking, you fucking somebody that you tested, so you ain't got to worry about it. They didn't go to the club or none of that shit, no.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to teach you boys to do that shit.
Yep. And honestly, that's something that, you know, in the group that we have here in Arizona, you know, we're working to build a community of really like-minded individuals who take safety, security, the ethics behind doing this the right way. And honestly, we're thinking about doing that same thing again, you know, where we go, listen, we're going to shoot in a content house for 4 days. we're going to have an amazing location. We're going to have a ton of talent there. Everybody's going to walk in that door on a Thursday night, and everybody's going to be tested right then and there. Because we have, there's a couple centers here or a couple locations here that do rapid testing, which means we can get the results the same day. And so we get everybody to come in on a Thursday night. Everybody gets tested Thursday night. We have all the results back by Friday morning. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, everybody's shooting. You're only shooting with the people there. You're not going outside of the house to go meet anybody, go to the club, do anything like that. And we're there. And then now you get a ton of content in a short period of time. You're doing it. You know, everybody is 100%, you know, clear on the day that you start shooting. And, you know, you're not introducing anything that could cause, you know, further issues for everybody. And I think
it's only as good as the last person you fucked. Because you can have that test and you clear it, and the next day you fuck something that's dirty.
Yeah.
And you didn't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And and that's part of the education behind it too. They go, well, if I get tested on a Monday and then I go do a bareback orgy with a whole bunch of random people that I met at the bar, just because you get your results back on Wednesday and it says that you're clear doesn't mean that you are. You actually invalidated your entire test because of the actions that you took immediately after getting tested. And that's where a lot of the conversations, and I encourage, you know, creators to do this, is that when you're going to work with somebody, have a conversation with them, understand what their personal life is like. I've had to put up some boundaries with people because, listen, I work with some performers, actually quite a few of them, that do go out and they escort. And I say, listen, I don't have any issues with you doing escorting in your personal life. That is your choice. I don't yuck anybody's yum. That is your thing to do. And that's perfectly fine. However, what I need in order to reduce my risk is you get tested, then we shoot, and then you go do escorting or whatever you want to do after that. That way I know, hey, look, I'm in the clear. You can have fun. You can do what you need to do. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. I don't want to gatekeep any of that. I don't want to make you feel bad for doing any of that. That's your choice. You know, you can absolutely do that. But I need to make sure that I'm making a conscious decision as to how actions of one person affect my risk level. And I have to determine what my risk tolerance is.
Yeah, because to me, and not only that, depending upon the level of clientele that she gets, you also want to ensure that she's fresh enough for the fucking shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Because a girl pussy can get worn out.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens.
I don't give a fuck how much lube, bro.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've had it happen during shoots too. Like, even, you know, depending on the type of shoot that we're doing, if we're going for 45 minutes or an hour, you know, it's a lot of lube is needed. And I had a shoot recently where we were going and we were doing it. She turned to me and she's like, listen, I got about 5 more minutes in me and then we're going to have to call it a wrap. So I'm like, all right, let me see if I can do it. And I had been shooting a lot that day. So, I get to the end of it. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to be able to come. I think we've got some really good footage. We're going to kind of, you know, alter how we do the ending on this and, you know, we'll make it happen. But she communicated with me like, hey, I'm tired and, you know, I can't keep going. And that's just a regular shoot day, not, mind you, whatever, you know, what you do in the rest of your life.
Oh, no, I used to either fake fake a cream pie, but she didn't push it out.
Yeah.
Or what we call in the business, playboard it out. You fade it out.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Now
it never shows you a pop shot. So you just fade out the screen.
Just fade it. And now it's like, you know, some of the methods that I've used personally is like, we can fake an oral, you know, shot where she can kind of froth her mouth up a little bit and make it look like it. There's some great lubes out there now. There's one that I use in particular that, you know, I get like a little syringe, and if we have to fake it, I pump some of it in, and then I go back in, and like I'm fucking, I come, and when I pull out, she pushes out the lube. It looks just like cum. And, you know, when you get to the editing part, you get a little creative on how to make that work. And, you know, at the end of it, you're selling the whole scene, even though that ending wasn't truly real.
Yeah. It'd be times where I might have popped quicker than I was anticipated, and I somehow moved it to the end, and they never know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's post-production the key to all these scenes that people realize.
Yep.
You know, y'all seen the finished product, but y'all don't realize, y'all seen the cake, but you ain't see what all we had to do to make the motherfucker.
No. I mean, listen, I just did my numbers for 2023. So on December 31st every year, I like to look back at everything that I've done for the year because I track everything. I'm real big on KPIs. So anybody getting into this business, KPIs, key performance indicators, are going to help you make the decisions as to what to do and where to go in this business. And so I track a lot of that stuff. And I spent 155 hours in 23 filming scenes. And then I spent an additional 166 hours on top of that editing. So that's well over 300 hours of filming and editing to get the product out there. And so it's a lot. It is a lot of work. And you have to be, when you talk about, the creative side, that can take some time. If you've got to move elements of a scene around, you want to make it look cohesive, you have to finish telling that story, it can definitely take some time. It's not just a quick, film and throw it up on the internet.
Shoot, no, I'm gonna tell you the worst thing in the world when the audio ain't matching the motherfucking video. You got to move the audio to match it. See, it's a little tidbit shit that y'all don't have to deal with. Now, I don't know if it's because I never really filmed with a cell phone because I'm old school. I remember having a camera. Because I'm sorry, I need a big lens. I don't see how y'all do what y'all do. This small ass lens.
Well, even and here's the thing, like I have nothing against phones because I think where phone technology has gotten to now is phenomenal. Like
Oh yeah,
4K,
I see some shit.
120, yeah, I mean it's amazing. Now, with that being said, do you know how to use the equipment that you have? And if you just leave your phone on auto and film, guess what? The audio levels are going to change. It's going to change the coloring on there as it re-meters the scene. It's going to lighten and darken as it re-meters, And so now you have this scene that's just kind of like all over the place from a lighting perspective, from a sound perspective. Do you know how to set the settings, the professional settings on your phone to get a consistent quality video? And if you do, then great, that will make all the difference. But like you, I prefer the old school cameras, things where I can set it and it is not going to move the entire scene,
Period. Because like a lot of times the same camera, especially with me, I film with, I took pictures with. So 9 out of 10, it's kind of like if you had the setting similar, you really ain't got to do too much. Just point and shoot. Like I said, and two, also, not every camera, excuse me, not camera, cell phone that you can put on disturb and you still have sound.
And it's even the microphones aren't the best either. You can hear artifacts, like, and I see this a lot with people who shoot with GoPros. I can always tell when somebody shoots with a GoPro because you can hear the case on the GoPro rattle. And if you have a case on your phone, or you have something attached to your phone, every little movement of that I mean, is picked up immediately by the microphone. And that's why you'll see in true productions, I mean, in my set, I have a microphone up and over the bed. Then that way I'm capturing sound over the middle of the bed. It's not on the camera. It is off the camera. It's up above the bed. And I usually have one kind of down low to capture from a slightly different angle. But it's a world of difference when you capture sound using equipment configured the right way. Same thing with the camera gear, same thing with the lighting gear. It's if you know how to use the gear, you're going to get a much better quality video at the end of the day.
And that's why it's a craft, ladies and gentlemen.
I absolutely agree with you.
So I done held this man up and we ain't even touched the surface. So I got to ask you the $1 million question.
Sure.
Mr. AZ Porn Star, can I call you a smoke buddy?
You can call me a smoke buddy.
Say no more. He will be back here on the Smokers Lounge and we're gonna bring him on the Premium Smoke Room. Actually, I mentioned to my homie, Miss Kelly Shin, that we might bring you on her show.
All
Cause
right,
I like to see y'all
fantastic.
mix up and plus manifesting. I hope they get to work together.
Yeah, hey, I would love that. I would absolutely
I would
love that.
love to see you and Kelly Shin work together because what would be created would be masterful. So with that, my brother, tell everybody where you can spend money on you.
Sure. So there's a couple places. So I'll tell you two of them. First and foremost, if you want to see my content, if you want to see the scenes, you want to buy them, see what I do, see my talents, you can go to azpornstar.com. That'll take you to all my content, all the scenes that are currently released. It'll show you some previews of the scenes that are coming out. Got a lot of content on there, stuff for every person and what they like. So Definitely variety. If you are on the side where you want to get into this business and you want to learn how to do it, I am putting together this course. It is not yet launched as of today. Right now we're targeting for an announcement at AVN. That's when we'll launch it. So at the end of January, but you can at least get a sneak peek into the course right now. I tell you a little bit about it. You can also drop your email and I will email you when the course goes live. And because you dropped your email early, I'll actually give you a discount off of the course as well. To do that, you want to go to thepornstarcourse.com/smokerslounge. And that will tell you everything about the course, why I created it, a little bit about myself, what you can expect. And then all you do is you hit that enroll now button. It'll take you to a page, you put in your email address, and I will make sure I email you the moment the course is available.
See, say no more, people. So now you know what to do. And see, sometimes like my granddad used to say, he said, Dusty, dude, sometimes we need to be the ones that teach, because it takes us to teach the next generation how to move in this world. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you know how we end these things all day, every day. Life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over. Mr. Pornstar, tell them goodbyes, brother.
I appreciate you, my friend. Goodbye. Yes. And a happy new year.